all about them.
The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughn. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughn.com.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. Yes, sir. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday's edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Thursday, we're approaching the end of the week. We still have 2 full days ahead of us, but it doesn't matter. I can already smell the weekend. I can tell we're getting closer and closer. I can tell. Se nota. Lo puedo sentir. I can tell that the weekend is getting closer. It's not just around the corner yet, but pretty soon, yes. But for now, 7:30 in the morning on a Thursday, it's time for English. It's time to get up. It's time to, to take care of this responsibility of yours to improve your English. It's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. It's not my problem, it's your problem. And I'm here to help you if you want my help. If you don't, just go back to sleep. Turn off the radio. Go back to sleep. And don't bother to listen to me anymore. It doesn't matter. I do this radio show because I enjoy it, not because you need to improve your English. But if you do, so much the better. Tanto mejor. So much the better. So if you... in addition to my enjoying myself, if on top of that you improve your English, well, so much the better. So much the better. All right. Have you brought me these 10 relevant questions? Yes. All right. I'm ready to answer them. Ask me questions. Richard, are you under pressure to make some important decisions in your company? No, I'm not. Have you ever been attracted to radical political movements? No, I haven't. Is tourism an important source of revenue in some countries? Yes, it is. Does the future of our planet depend on the stability of the sun? Yes, it does. Is the cattle industry important in Argentina? Yes, it is. And do you take off your watch the moment you get home? Yes, I do. Do you have trouble falling asleep at night? No, I don't. Is the next question going to be in English? Yes, it is. Would you make more money if you decided to become a manicurist? No, I wouldn't. Should retirement age be moved forward to age 55? No, it shouldn't. Okay. No, it shouldn't. Are you under pressure to make some important decisions in your company? No, I'm not. Are you under pressure to do anything? No, I'm not. I'm not under pressure. Under pressure. Freddie Mercury and Queen, under pressure. Bajo presión, se dice. Si me están presionando. Nobody is pressuring me. Nobody is pressuring me. I'm not under pressure to make any decisions in my life. Although I make decisions, I'm not under pressure to make decisions. Have you ever been attracted to radical political movements? No, I haven't. I've never been attracted to any political movements, neither radical nor non-radical or conservative or liberal. No, I've never been attracted to political parties, although I have my ideology and my political leaning, inclinación, which I'm sure you can figure out if you listen to me. But I'm not attracted to getting involved in politics, nor am I. Fíjate, cuando dices nor, no estoy interesado en entrar en política, ni, la segunda parte de la frase después de ni, siempre se forma como si fuera una pregunta en inglés. O sea, con verbo auxiliar, escucha. I've never been interested in getting involved in politics, nor have I considered following a radical political movement. I never eat ice cream in the morning, nor do I eat it in the evening, for example. When I was a teenager, I never drove faster than 100 miles an hour, nor did I drive slower than 10, nor did I. We always formulate it for some strange reason as if, it's within the structure normally attributed to a question. No solo iba al colegio a diario, sino que iba una hora antes del inicio de las clases, cuando yo era joven. Not only did I go to school every day, but I went an hour early. In this case, not only does the Spanish government want to raise your taxes, but they want to raise the cost of energy as well. Not only did Francisco Franco win the Spanish Civil War, but he stayed for an additional 36 years in power. Not only was Napoleon relatively short, but he was also impetuous. Not only have I been to 34 countries, but I have spent quality time in at least 10. Not only have I been, not only did he stay, not only was he short. It's interesting that when you begin a sentence with not only, no solo soy norteamericano, sino tejano para mayor inri, como dicen. Not only am I. Strange about English in this case, after not only. So remember, if you start a sentence with not only, the first half of the sentence, no solo, sino, la parte de la frase después de decir sino, is normal syntax. But the not only part, the first part, is interrogative syntax. Not only was Ronald Reagan an actor, but he became the president of the United States as well. Not only was Sitting Bull a Sioux, a member of the Sioux Indian tribe, but he was also the spiritual leader for other tribes as well. Not only, but also. Not only, but also. No solo, sino. Sino. Sino todo junto. You know, many times people misspell sino. Sometimes they put it together. Sino, and when it should be separated. Sino, that's different. You need to separate it. And vice versa. So I've seen a lot of mistakes with the two words of sino. In Spanish, among Spanish people. So not only, now, it also nor. I don't like potatoes, nor do I like rice, nor do I like spinach, nor do I like peppers, nor do I like mushrooms. That's how we say it after nor. I don't like mushrooms either. You can say, I don't like green peppers. I don't like red peppers either. And I don't like mushrooms either. And I don't like onions either, raw onions. And I don't like green pepper, I don't know, any either. But if you do it the other way, I don't like green peppers. Nor do I like red peppers. Nor do I like leeks, puerros, which is not true, I do. Nor do I like, I don't know. Nor do I like mushrooms. So it's like that. But here we are talking about radical political movements. Not only do I not belong to a political party, I'm not interested in joining. As I've said many times, I am a staunch defender. Wow, I've never taught the word staunch. I don't even know how to spell it. A staunch defender, S-T-A-U-N-C-H, staunch. Not only a staunch, acérrimo, devoto, firme, sólido, defensor. Not only am I a staunch defender, I mean, I am a staunch defender of democracy, of the democratic system. However, if I were in politics, I would want to be a dictator. All right. So, when you say practice what you preach, practice what you preach, practica lo que predicas. O sea, predica con el ejemplo. I think is what you say in Spanish. In English, we don't say preach with your example. We say practice what you preach. I think in the case of politics, I would not be able to practice what I preach, simply because I am deformed, deformado, deformación profesional. Because I've been the big boss all my life, since I was at 23, I've called the shots myself. And so I don't use consensus. Well, I do, but I always have the final decision. I don't need to seek consensus if I don't want to. I do, among my people. In fact, I delegate. To tell you the truth, I pass along the decisions to my people more than myself. But I always have the option to take control myself. But when you work in a democracy, you're constantly needing to seek consensus and to negotiate and to negotiate. I don't have time nor the desire to negotiate. That's why that's why very, very few successful entrepreneurs or business people get into politics. Because they can't adapt. They don't want to adapt. Not that they cannot. They simply are not interested in adapting to a consensus-based management system in which you have to negotiate and reach agreements, giving in, compromising. The verb to compromise in English is a false friend. Compromiso y comprometer, no. Compromise means transigir. Bueno, significa llegar a un acuerdo transigiendo, cediendo. That's the compromise. It doesn't mean... A compromise es un arreglo. O sea, acordado, negociado, un arreglo. Donde cada parte cede para llegar a un punto de acuerdo. So es un acuerdo mutuo, consensuado, cada uno cediendo para llegar. That's a compromise. Sometimes we say compromise agreement, but simply the word compromise. As a verb, to compromise also means transigir, ceder, but it also means poner en peligro, como comprometer. No saber bien inglés puede comprometer tu futuro. Not knowing English well. O sea, el no saber. Fíjate cómo lo digo. El saber inglés bien. Knowing English well. Pero lo contrario. El no saber inglés bien. Not knowing English well. Can compromise your future. Poner en riesgo tu futuro. Arriesgar. Poner en peligro. It can compromise your future. Now, un compromiso. Tengo un compromiso is a commitment, not a compromise, a commitment. Remember that. Don't make that mistake, because it could lead to a misunderstanding. All right, okay, McKay, let us continue. Have you ever been attracted to radical political movements? No, I haven't. When I came to Spain, there were two radical movements based, there were three. But when I came, there were two. Of course, the radical movement in ETA, which was an independence movement, and the FRAP, Frente Revolucionario, no sé qué. I don't remember what FRAP stood for. What did FRAP stand for? FRAP, FRAP. Frente Revolucionario Antifascista y Patriota. All right. When I came here into Spain, it was very active. But then it was practically destroyed in 1974. The next to the last year, or in 1975, just before Franco's death, several members of ETA and FRAP were executed by firing squads. And I don't think FRAP ever really recovered from that. I don't know. I don't know if they recovered from that. But their leader, who was a guy by the name of Julio Álvarez de Vallo, del Vallo, he was a jurista, periodista, diplomático y político español. First he was a member of PSOE, but then he created FRAP. He wasn't executed, no. Oh, yes, he was. I think he was in Mayo del 75. A few months before, Franco died in November, and Franco began to die in October. But he didn't die of a heart. He died of insuficiencia cardíaca. Mira tú. All right. So he was in Geneva. He was in Switzerland, so he was probably, he left Spain to stay away for his own, but he died. I don't know how old he was. He was born in 1891, so he was pretty old when he died. He was pretty old. He was in his 80s or late 70s. But let's go on. But I've never been attracted to radical political movements. But I've never been attracted to political movements, period. Period. Periodo. See, I've never been attracted to political movements. Full stop. Full stop means y punto. Y punto final. Period means y ya está. I've never been attracted to political movements. Period. Is tourism an important source of revenue in some countries? Yes. My God. There are a lot of countries that are heavily dependent, heavily, fíjate, digo pesadamente, heavily dependent on tourism. Yes. For example, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Spain is very dependent. Spain needs tourism. It's very important. Let's see, countries most dependent on tourism. According to, this is an interesting list. Visualizing the countries most reliant on tourism. Yo dije dependent. Reliant is the same. Que más necesitan, que más dependen de. The countries that are most reliant on tourism. Quite interesting. Antigua y Barbuda. My God. Probably 90% of the GDP, the gross domestic product, is dependent on that. But, yes, the total share of jobs. Now, Antigua and Barbuda, this is a country in the Caribbean. 91% of all of the jobs are connected to tourism. The second is Aruba, also in the Caribbean. The third is Santa Lucia. The fourth is the United States Virgin Islands. And finally, Macau, which is next to Hong Kong. It's China. 60% of the jobs in Macau are dependent on tourism. Of course, Macau is very dependent. Macau is a gambling center, similar to Las Vegas, you see. Now, normal countries, yeah, the contribution to GDP, Mexico's number one, 15.5% of Mexican gross domestic product is dependent or reliant on tourism. Spain is number two, 14.3%. Italy is number three. So the U.S. is number 10, almost 9% of the American GDP is dependent on tourism. But that includes internal tourism, not only people from the outside. So it's an interesting question. So, yes, there are a lot of countries in which tourism is extremely important. And it's an important source of revenue in quite a few countries, including Spain, of course. Does the future of our planet depend on the stability of the sun? Well, yes, but I think the future of our planet depends more immediately on other things. I don't believe the sun is going... If the sun stops shining or if the sun starts having problems, well, it will surely affect the Earth and could destroy life on the Earth and could destroy the Earth altogether. But I don't think that's the main concern if we want to... If we're talking about the stability, if we're talking about the future of our planet, I think the future of our planet depends on our ability. The most important, for me, the most important consideration regarding the future of our planet is our ability to, the future of humanity, not the future of the planet, is our ability to harness technology in a peaceful way. To harness, a harness is un arnés. Now, to harness means ponerle un arnés a algo, controlarlo. Harness is un arnés, arreo. But as a verb, it's ponerle arreos a algo, controlar. To harness. Controlar y aprovechar. To harness technology in a peaceful way. To be able to control technology. I believe that's the biggest danger for the next 100 years. Is to make sure that the advances in technology and biology. Everything around progress. Technological and biological progress, to be able to control it in such a way that the bad guys don't gain control, and also that the control freaks don't gain control. A control freak, F-R-E-A-K, un freak, aquí se dice freaky, but, you know, a freak is un persona muy rara. A freak. In fact, the word freak show was popular many, many years ago in the 19th century in circuses. La mujer con las tres cabezas. That's a freak. A circus freak. Un fenómeno de circo. A freak, pero... tiene 30 dedos. That's a freak. A freak. A freak accident. I use that expression a lot personally. A freak accident is un extraño accidente. You know, something that you not expect. Totally. You don't expect. A freak accident. A control freak. Controlador. Obsesivo. Un obsesivo en el control. A dominating and a perfectionist and a dominating person is a control freak. Yes. So, control freaks. And, if a control freak gains control of technology to the detriment of other people who are more normal, it can be bad. So it's the only concern I have about the medium, short-term and medium-term future. When I say medium-term future, I'm speaking of between now and the end of the century. Long-term for me is the next 10,000 years. But medium-term is from here to the end of the 21st century. The next 79 years. The next 79 years. Technology in every area, biology, and everything. And technology is going to change a lot. And it's going to be very important that we can keep balanced people controlling technology. Gente equilibrada con el control de la tecnología. And that's probably, for me, that's the biggest danger to the planet. Not the stability of the sun and not climate change. For me, it's technology that we need to keep control of that. Even all kinds of things, nanotechnology, in which we create molecules. We produce molecules that can do things, but those molecules can learn how to reproduce, and we lose control of them. You see, so we need to be careful. I mean, we can create molecules that eat plastic, you know, que comen plástico, but then they may start eating other things, and they may grow, and we lose control. Who knows? But that's nanotechnology in every area of technology. All right, so does the future of our planet depend on the stability of the sun? Yes, but it depends on many, many other things with more immediate impact than the stability of the sun. All right, I'm going to take a break, but I'll be back.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años, en grupos de aproximadamente 10 niños por monitor. Fechas, tienes para elegir, del 18 al 24 de julio o del 25 al 31 de julio, como prefieras. Los entrenamientos tendrán lugar en las modernas instalaciones del Centro Deportivo Wanda Alcalá de Henares, sede de la Academia del Atlético de Madrid. Y el alojamiento será en habitaciones individuales con baño privado en el Colegio Mayor Aquinas, en la Ciudad Universitaria de Madrid. Ven a aprender inglés con el campeón de liga, el Atlético de Madrid, y el campeón del inglés, Vaughan. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Inglés y fútbol con Vaughan y el Atleti.
You're listening. Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Lo que escuchas, Vaughan Radio.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en la habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class, and the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esas semanas sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back to our second half hour. Yes, sir, our second half hour is today's Thursday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Are you awake now? Are you awake now? Or are you still a bit sleepy? Or are you asleep completely? If you're completely asleep, then you're not listening to me. However, if you're sleepy, maybe you can still listen. But you need to wake up. Have a coffee, have a tea, do something to wake up. Because it's time to seriously do something about your English. Is the cattle industry important in Argentina? Oh, yes. The cattle industry in Argentina. I mean, I don't know what percentage of Argentine GDP is dependent on cattle. I really don't know. Probably about an important percentage. Yes, the economy of Argentina. The economy of Argentina. Let me see if I can find a list. Wow, the inflation rate has been... Argentina's been famous for inflation in the past. Let's see. All right. GDP, gross domestic product. All right. Let's see. In the most recent statistics, manufacturing is number one. 17% of Argentine GDP is dependent on manufacturing. 15% is dependent on commerce and tourism. 13% is dependent on real estate and business services. You know, this agriculture. Only 7%, according to what I'm reading, is dependent on agriculture, forestry, and fishing. Agriculture includes husbandry. Husbandry is la cría de ganado, ganadería, as that's part of agriculture. Forestry is de los bosques. And fishing, of course, is la pesca. All right. So it's less important than I thought. I'm not sure, but never trust 100% statistics when you see them. Sometimes statistics don't tell the truth. But in any case, but let's go on. The question is the cattle industry important in Argentina? Yes, it is. Argentina exports a lot of beef. A lot of beef. Carne de vacuno, we say beef. Argentina exports a lot of beef. Very good beef, by the way. And to tell you the truth, some of the best cuts of beef I've eaten in my life are Argentine cuts. Cortes Argentinos, cuts. However, the best steak I have eaten in my life, and I'm from Texas, I grew up eating steaks. The best steak I've eaten in my life was in Santo Domingo. the capital of the Dominican Republic. And it's a skirt steak. A skirt steak? Yes, in the Dominican Republic, they call it churrasco. Churrasco. Churrasco Dominicano. I don't know if I can find a picture of it. But I was having dinner with Miss World and ex-Miss World, la ex-Miss Mundo, in a good friend. She's a friend. And in Santo Domingo. And I ordered a skirt steak, which is called churrasco in the Caribbean area. I think it's, let's see, a skirt, S-K-I-R-T, steak. All right. Yes, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a skirt steak. In Spanish, I don't know what you call it. Arrachera Mexicana, arrachera. They say in Mexico. Yes. I remember in Mexico I ordered often arrachera, skirt steak. Let's see. La falda o filete de falda es un corte de filete de ternera. All right. It has different names in different places. Churrasco. And let's see. Salteado chino. Buah, ranchera. Okay. But I was having dinner with this lady, and I ordered a skirt steak, a churrasco dominicano. It was so good. And when I was finishing, I looked at her. I said, Maria Cela. Her name is Maria Cela. Is it, if I order a second steak, is it considered strange? And she said, para nada. I said, camarero, bueno, mesero. Tráigale otro. And I ate two steaks that night. I've only done that twice. No. Yes, I've only done that three times in my life, as far as I can remember, in which I ordered a second course. Un segundo plato. Una repetición de segundo plato. And one was in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, this skirt steak, churrasco, dominicano. The second was in a private home. I was invited to Valdemorillo near El Escorial by the by the treasurer of a very big company. And his wife was a very good cook. And she apparently bought some excellent beef. And it was good. I mean, it was good. I devoured that steak. But I ordered a second. And then the third time was in Zaragoza with cabrito, asado. It was excellent. All right, do you take off your watch the moment you get home? Yes, I do. Did you have trouble falling asleep last night? No, I didn't. Is the next question going to be in English? Yes, it is. Would you make more money if you decided to become a manicurist? No, I wouldn't. Should retirement age be moved forward to age 55? No, it shouldn't. Do you play the Christmas lottery every year? No, I don't. Is stamp collecting one of the most popular hobbies nowadays? I don't know. No, it's not. I don't think so. Are the rich getting richer and the poor poorer? No, they're not. Is aspirin a popular pain reliever? Yes, it is. Do professional soccer players need to stay in shape? Yes, they do. All right. Do you take off your watch the moment you get home? Yes, I do. I take off my watch the moment I get home. In fact, yes, that's the first thing I do. The very first thing I do upon entering my house at the end of a working day or whenever, I take off my watch. Then, what do I do? Then I remove my wallet from the back pocket of my trousers. And then I take off my shoes. Right there. Bam. And walk in my socks. to the bedroom. All right, after that. But the first thing I do, the very first thing, fíjate cómo uso la palabra very, el muy primera cosa, se dice en inglés, la primerísima. The very first thing I do when I get home is to take off my watch. I don't like wearing a watch. I wear it because it's convenient to have, I can see the time quickly, I don't need to get my cell phone and look at it. And also, it looks nice. I have a nice looking watch, so I wear it. But if people stop wearing watches, I will stop as well. Do you have trouble falling? Did you have trouble falling asleep last night? No, I didn't have trouble. I didn't have trouble falling asleep last night. I didn't have any trouble. Con any o sin any, da igual. I didn't have any trouble falling asleep last night. Well, how long did it take you to fall asleep? I don't know. Probably about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. I really don't. Or maybe less. Maybe less than a minute. I can't remember. Yes, I can't remember. But I didn't have any trouble falling asleep. But how many times did you wake up during the night? I woke up once during the night. And what time did you get up? This morning, I got up at 5:35. Wow, that's early. What time did you leave home? I left home at 7. How long did it take you to come to the radio studio? It took me 15 minutes. Well, from door to door, from the door of my house to the door of the radio studio, it took me 20 minutes. What time did you get here? I got here at 7:20. On the dot. Exactly. How do you know? Because there's a clock in this radio studio. And it said 7:20. Now, if this clock here in the studio, I'm looking at it right now. If it's synchronized with my watch and with the, well, not my watch, with the clock, the wall clock in the living room when I leave home, then yes, it took me exactly 20 minutes from door to door. From door to door. It took me 15 minutes in my car, probably. Because from my house, I need to walk down the stairs, 5 flights of stairs. I don't use the elevator. And then cross the street, go down to the parking garage, get into my car, and then drive here. But then I need to park downstairs and come upstairs to the studio. So, yeah, that's the case. Now, I didn't have any trouble falling asleep last night. I didn't have any trouble going to sleep. To go to sleep, to fall asleep. All right, is the next question going to be in English? Well, of course it is. The next question is going to be in English because all these questions are in English. All of them. All of these. It's interesting to say all of these questions or all these questions. To tell you the truth, I think a purist, a grammarian would say all these questions. Todas estas preguntas son en inglés. Now, most people probably would say all of these questions. But I think a grammarian would say all these questions. However, see, if you say todas ellas, we say all of them. We don't say all them. So really, it should be correct to say all of these questions. And I think it is. All these questions are in English because I'm an English teacher. If I were a French teacher, these questions would be in French. Yes. La prochaine question. So it would be different. The next question. But the next question is going to be in English. Yes, but I don't remember. What's the next question? Well, I haven't asked it yet. Yes, you asked all these questions. You asked 10 questions in a row at the beginning of the class. Yeah, but But do you remember what the next question is? No. All right, well, I'll ask it. Would you make more money if you decided to become a manicurist? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't make more money if I decided to become a manicurist. However, maybe I'm wrong. I could easily be wrong. Because I've told you the story many times. But it's true that there is near the zona de Pacifico in Madrid, down on Avenida de Barcelona or something like that, there's a nail salon, Salón de Uñas. There's a nail salon, and there's only one young lady. Well, now I don't know. This is about 5 years ago. There was a young lady working there, Chinese, cute, Mona, but she was 17, I think. She's very young. She was 17. Now, my wife went there once and was speaking to the mother. The mother was there collecting, and the father was there as well. And my wife struck up a conversation with the mother. So in the shop, the nail salon, which was maybe, I don't know, 30 square meters. It was relatively small. My wife struck up a conversation in tableau. Struck up a conversation with the Chinese mother while the Chinese daughter was doing the nails. The Chinese father was sitting in the corner reading something or doing something, I don't know, according to my wife. And during the conversation, the mother said, no, our son, we have a 20-year-old son who is going to the university. And my wife said, and your daughter, this is school hours. Said, no, our daughter doesn't go to school. So the 17-year-old Chinese daughter was working, not going to school. The mother was supervising, and the father was simply sitting in the corner, and the son was at the university. So all the money, everything they were doing was for the boy. And the girl, the 17-year-old girl, in essence, was working for her older brother, for the good of her older brother. And I think they were making a lot of money. Because my wife was there for about, I guess, 45 minutes. And it was 40 euros. So, 40 euros an hour. And she said they worked 9 hours. So, working 45 minutes every hour. So if they have one customer, that's 360 euros a day. And they worked on Saturday mornings as well. So it's an average of 22 days a month. So you do the calculation, you can see they probably earn 7,920 euros a month. So if they work 11 months, well, per year, 87,000 euros. So it's enough to pay for the higher education of the boy, to pay the rent on that small little storefront. Storefront is the American word for local. I don't know what they call that in Great Britain. I really don't know. Storefront. Let me look it up. I'm going to look up local. Local. Let's see. In Spanish, el local. This is very common. Of course, it's a very, very common word in Spanish. Voy a alquilar un local. All right. Now, un local, it's called premises. Premises son la propiedad. An establishment, a store, a shop. But I think we say storefront. Store in the U.S. In the UK, I'm sure they don't. Storefront. No lo encuentro. All right. I can't find it in word reference. Storefront. Storefront. Frente de la tienda. Okay. Storefront. Yes. I can't find it. I can't find a Spanish equivalent. But in any case, 87,000, they probably made about 80,000 euros a month. After the rent, maybe 70,000 or 65,000, which is good for a Chinese family of four, and the only person working apparently was the girl. And she did a good job, by the way. So she always had a lot of clients, a lot of patrons who came in. But in any case, let's go on, shall we? Storefront. It's interesting. I don't know how to say that in the UK. The word, voy a alquilar un local. I'm going to rent a shop. Commercial property. Formally, technically, we say commercial property. But in any case, let's go on. Should retirement age be moved forward to age 55? No, it shouldn't. It should be moved back to age 70. If I think the what's the official retirement age in Spain now? I think it's 67. Yes. Edad. The edad oficial de jubilación. 65 todavía dice aquí. All right. A día de hoy, la edad mínima de jubilación ordinaria general es de 65. Pero solo si tienes más de 37 años y 3 meses de cotización. All right. Okay, so it depends on how many years you have been contributing to the Social Security system. All right. I've been contributing for more than 37 years, you know. Definitely. I've been contributing since, I got 1979, I believe. It's a long time. That's 42 years. 42 years. I've been contributing to the Social Security system. And I also contributed to the American Social Security system for a period of about 11 or 12 years. I was paying double Social Security in the U.S. In 1989, Spain, or 1988, Spain and the United States signed a treaty, tratado, to avoid double taxation in questions of Social Security. They already had a treaty for personal income tax, same impuesto sobre la renta, but not for Social Security. And so when I retire, I will receive a pension from both sources. The U.S. pension isn't very high. I think it's about $800 a month. Pero menos da una piedra, como decís aquí. A stone provides less, right? Okay. We just say better. That's better than nothing. Mejor que nada. Of course, that's better than nothing. No, $800 a month is nice. I can do a lot with $800 a month. I mean, menú del día de 12 euros. I know one restaurant in which the menu of the day for 12 euros is delicious. So, just with $800. $800 is about 720 euros, okay? Now, if the menu of the day is 12, well, I can have 60 menus of the day. You know, just for 1 month of Social Security from the United States. 1 month pension. So it covers my, if I want to eat in that same excellent menu of the day restaurant every day, well, it's covered easily and much more. I could have lunch and dinner there and still have extra money from the American pension. So $800, covers a lot of things. Yeah, a lot of things. So, I mean, just 30 days out of the year, you know, a month of 30 days, if I can find how it costs me 360 euros to eat. So I could eat for 2 months at least with the 720 euros from Uncle Sam, del Tio Sam, from Uncle Sam. Okay. Now, I'm going to, I'm coming up to the end. Not yet, but we have less than a minute. So let's go on, shall we? What's the next question? The next question is, if I can find it, well, should retirement age be moved forward to age 55? No. In my opinion, it should be moved back to age 70. People are living longer now. And it's too much of a burden on the Social Security system for people to take early retirement. Although here in Spain, it's very common for companies to provide early retirement options in order to reduce personnel in the companies. But in any case, I would say age 70 would be a good official age. And then companies can make decisions, or people can make personal decisions and take earlier retirement at less pension or whatever. Whatever. Do you play the Christmas lottery every year? No, I don't. I only play the Christmas lottery if somebody gives me a ticket, a lottery ticket. Otherwise, I don't. All right, we're coming up to the end of another half-hour segment. I'll be right back. Please, don't go away. ¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTVE a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTVE a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que, pues, que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughan's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughan via video conference classes. Sign up now.
El Club Atlético de Madrid, junto con Vaughan, ha creado un campamento de verano donde tus hijos disfrutarán jugando al fútbol mientras aprenden inglés. Dirigido a niños y niñas de entre 8 y 15 años. Llama al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Inglés y fútbol, con Vaughan y el Atleti.
A Vaughan English class is not the same as other English classes. In a Vaughan English class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life. And the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughan will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te pueda ayudar